It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I'm Jason Chaffetz, and thanks for joining us. I really do think you're going to enjoy this. Charlie Arnold is, she's a rising star, not only at OutKick, but at Fox News, you see her all the time, but at OutKick, she's doing some fun stuff. She has led an exciting life and done a lot of things that a lot of people want to do, but don't get to do. So I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. I want to get to know her, figure out how she got to where she got to and these experiences that you've seen, whether it's watching her at sporting events and wrestling or whatever it might be. I really think you're going to enjoy it. So let's just highlight an item or so in the news and then highlight the stupid, because, you know, there's always somebody's doing something stupid somewhere. And then we'll get Charlie on the horn, and this will be good. It'll be really good. All right, let's talk about the news real quick. I just can't believe what's going on at this port in Baltimore. Look, lives were lost, and my heart goes out to those people. But the more I look at this, the more I hear about it, the more, barges like that, shipping containers, don't just run into bridges. And you watch that video, and this one doesn't make a lot of sense to me. All I'm saying is, hey, it is a big story. The more time goes by, the bigger the story gets. And boy, it's going to shut down commerce and really cause some havoc at one of our biggest ports out there. And yikes. Anyway, I feel for it. All right, next one is two. So let's go to the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere, and we got two this week. All right, folks, this first one, I think you've heard, you've seen, Ronna McDaniel. She steps down as the chairperson of the grand old party, the GOP. And she signs a contract. Many people do. I did. I left Congress. I went and worked with Fox as an analyst. But Ronna goes and does this with NBC. Now, I don't know exactly which entity it is within NBC that the contract is actually with, but she's highly accomplished. I may disagree with her on a lot of things, but boy, with the way she was treated and harassed online, I think she's got an incredible case against the network. I find it entirely stupid that you could bring somebody on, and after one interview, even before the interview gets going, there's this huge rebellion. Rebellion from what? Ronna McDaniel? What are you afraid of? Seriously? This is what they're scared of? You know, it always makes me smile. I think it's pretty rich when the people who preach diversity, equity, inclusion are the least diverse. They don't want to share any of the equity, and they certainly don't want to include somebody who thinks differently than them. So to say that they're, you know, how many times have we heard them preach those types of things? And then all of a sudden you got somebody who thinks a little bit differently or has a little different perspective, and oh my goodness, they go apoplectic. And essentially get her kicked out of the network. Now, I hope she sues him for a lot. That's just on a personal level. I just think that the way they were treated, not even given a chance, it was just fundamentally wrong. And it's all part of this bigger, broader Trump derangement syndrome. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop. I got a lot of people that I'm friends with, that I do various things with. I don't agree with them all. I think, wait, what are you thinking about? I disagree with you on that. But I'm still friends with them. I can still work with them. I can still do all kinds of things with them. My goodness. Come on, NBC. Come on, NBC. All right, next one. I don't know if you saw this. This happened, highlighted in a hearing. And you can find it on foxnews.com. And here's the headline. Biden admin, meaning the administration, Biden administration hires accused, quote, sex offender lover, end quote, who calls to abolish sex offense registry for Department of Defense consulting. Evidently, the Defense Department consultant said, quote, it makes sense to me why I have been called a sex offender lover and a rape apologist. Now, oh my goodness. And here's the first paragraph. The Biden administration contracted with an outside group that specializes in restorative justice for sex crimes, whose owner advocates for abolishing the sex offender registry for the Pentagon's Rape Prevention Office. Oh my gosh, folks, we got wars going on. We got people that want to kill us and take us over. We've got to worry about China and Russia, North Korea, all the tumultuous times that are going on in the world. This is why our military is degrading. We're not trying to raise the bar and support common sense principles. You literally have the Biden-Harris administration out there contracting with groups that literally hire somebody as a quote-unquote sex offender lover and rape apologist. This is where your taxpayer dollars are going. It's not to be a bigger, badder fighting force. It's not to fight for and advocate for, say, maybe homeless veterans who are having PTSD or mental health challenges. Oh, no. They're out there literally hiring people who think that people should be excused for rape and these types of things. It just infuriates me because, you know what? Our military has to be the biggest, baddest fighting force on the face of the planet. That peace through strength comes when you actually have a deterrent that people respect and honor and are, quite frankly, shudder because they don't want to mess with the United States because we're going to come mess with them. But you know what? Not this Biden-Harris administration. This is the kind of garbage that they're doing. And that, to me, rounds out the stupid. Time to move on. Let's get to something positive, something that I think you're really going to enjoy. And let's just give up Charlie Arnold and let's give her a call and let's talk about her life. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Charlie, hey, this is Jason Chaffetz.
Hi, Jason. I'm so excited to be here.
Hey, I appreciate you getting all prepped up, ready for me, you know, doing everything.
I know. I had no idea. It was just audio. I'm over here looking like a beauty queen for no reason, I guess. The two dogs will just have to enjoy my appearances for now.
Well, thanks for the effort. I do appreciate it because, you know, it's these podcasts, you could pretty much show up in sweats and a ball cap and you'll be just fine. But I do appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Always.
Now,
only the best for you, Jason.
No, you're so kind. Look, I've seen you from afar. I see you on Fox and Outkick and, you know, I didn't really know you before now that you've kind of made this transition. And thanks for joining me. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm excited to get into it. All of the things about me, you know, it'll be fun.
All about you. That's what this is about. And, you know, I'm fascinated by people who rise up and have great success. And I always love to hear their stories, where they came from, what they accomplished, why they do what they want to do. So let's go back to I was born in and kind of start there and just kind of walk through your experiences of life and how you got to where you and I are having this conversation today.
Yeah, well, I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, not to be confused with Minneapolis. A lot of people are like, oh, Minnesota. And I'm like, no, Indiana. and I'm an only child. So it was just me growing up, which is great, because now as an adult, I fully know how to entertain myself.
What were your parents doing? What were your parents doing?
So my mother is a speech pathologist. She's not really working so much anymore. She does like a little bit of contract work here and there, but not so much.
Does she correct you all the time? Like,
oh my gosh, all the time growing up, all the time, which is why, I mean, I would say my best traits as a broadcaster is I have great enunciation and I get that compliment all the time. And I definitely owe her props for that one, because constantly correcting me is one way to make sure that your daughter has the most articulate and, you know, pronounced type of voice. So that was helpful. And then actually, interestingly, my father, he graduated from college. He went to Indiana University. He graduated, and my mother went to Penn State, so they're both Big Ten parents. My dad graduated with a degree in journalism, and he was a newspaper reporter for years.
Yeah.
And then he ended up going into the family business. But I think it's funny because my father was a journalist. My mother, a speech pathologist. And when you put the two together, you get a broadcast journalist. So
What was the family business?
So it was, you know, I'm still learning about it with him. We actually took a trip, a father-daughter trip to Poland this past year because I have we're part Polish. So it was one just to dive into our ancestry. But I also am very fascinated by World War II history. So we did a tour of Auschwitz while we were there.
Oh, good for you.
And we did a tour of what was once the ghetto, also in Warsaw, Poland. So it was very interesting. But we actually started getting into this whole conversation on our flight back from Poland, which is, you know, as you can imagine, quite a journey. So it's fun because even as an adult, I feel like I'm still learning about my parents and what their earlier lives looked like. But in essence, it was a catalog of all different types of things. You know, they had, you know, lawn furniture, they had household items, they had mechanical items. It was just an array of different things. And I don't know how my family fell upon it or got into it, but it has now, you know, since disappeared. But his mother, when his father passed away, asked my father to come help her with it. So he stopped doing journalism and went into business, which he still, you know, you and I as journalists can understand that sometimes business in terms of making money may be the better road to go down. So I'm sure from that standpoint, he's happy that he did it, but he still has such a great passion for journalism. In fact, just in the past couple of years at Indiana University, he had the Michael I. Arnold Center for Investigative Journalism named after him, and it was opened, which was really cool. Scott Pelley was one of the keynote speakers then. They've got an incredible board. So he's still super passionate about the world of journalism, and he's like a citizen journalist for the Indianapolis Star still. So he'll answer some calls and pass along story ideas to the real journalist crew. But business is where he landed. And so that's a little bit of background on my parents. But
when you were young, kind of your early childhood, were you athletic? Were you a voracious reader? Like,
all of the above. I played sports from a very young age. I started dance and gymnastics when I was very young and continued that for probably up until gymnastics, at least a decade later. Dance I cut a little bit shorter. But then once my gymnastics career ran out, I started getting into softball and volleyball. I played soccer. A lot of these overlapped as well. And because my name is Charlie, and back then especially...
Is that your real name or is that like a nickname for something?
It's my real name. Yeah, it's Charly. I was named after my grandfather, Charles. So real name. And I was put on an all-boys soccer team because when my mom signed me up, she's like, Charlie wants to play soccer. Which is funny because now you get all of the incidences you hear of people, oh, the misgenderings, the outrage surrounding it. And I'm like, when I was put on an all-boys soccer team, I thought nothing of it. In fact, I thought I was the coolest girl alive because then I got to boss all these boys around and, you know, shove them and kick them on the field and no one could say anything. I actually was honored to have been put on the all-boys team. So I just think it's funny nowadays. It's so different.
How old were you back then when that happened?
That was when I was 6 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I can totally see that. I this past summer helped coach I have grandkids and our granddaughter was going to play soccer. And I said, yeah, you know, I'll volunteer. I can help out, you know, if they need a little help. Next thing I know, I am the head coach. I'm like, wait a second. I didn't, you know, and it was a mix of these young, you know, not even kindergartners, boys and girls. And it was so fun. But trying to get them to focus and understand the concept of soccer, like, no, you want to kick the ball in that goal while making sure that the other team doesn't kick it in that goal. That was like one of the hardest tasks ever. They got distracted by seeing a ladybug in the grass. Like they all stopped and wanted to play with the ladybug. And I just...
Sounds like my Cavalier King Charles. I try to get her to use the bathroom. She'll like start doing her circles to use the restroom outside on the street.
Yeah.
Someone will walk by. All of a sudden she has to look at the person. I'm like, oh my gosh, for the love of God, please nobody walk by. Otherwise she gets so distracted. But
well, it's a lot like Congress, I can tell you that. But that's a whole another story. Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, that has been our dog of choice in our family.
No.
Oh yes.
Wait, you know we have a special bond now. They feel like anyone who has a Cavalier, it's like a cult. When you have a Cavalier, you are a part of a special cult.
Yeah.
And once you have a Cavalier, you can never not have a Cavalier again.
I mean, I love dogs. We've had a mutt. We've had a golden retriever. I love dogs. But the perfect dog for the Chaffetz household ended up being a Cavalier King Charles because it is so calm, cool, and collective inside the house. It'll bark when the somebody rings the doorbell.
Yes.
And then they are, all kinds of energy when they go outside. That all they want to do is snuggle. They just want to jump up on you or be by your feet. And we love the Cavaliers.
Well, that's why I actually got, her name is Zora. I got her during COVID, right at the start of the pandemic when everything had shut down. I moved down to Florida to stay with my mother because my mom splits her time between Indianapolis and Cocoa Beach, Florida. So I moved down to Florida, same as everybody else, not knowing what was going on. I took 40 pairs. I wear daily contacts. So I remember taking 40 pairs of contacts thinking, okay, I'm just going to take 40 just in case this is prolonged a little bit longer than we all expect. Little did I know 40 would be one third of what I would need while I was down there. But I was having a little bit of a hard time. I think a lot of people were. The uncertainty kind of got to me a bit. And I had a very stressful moment. I had wanted to get a dog for so long, but I had been traveling for the bulk of my career. I mean, I worked for WWE for nearly 5 years and was on the road every single week while I was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
ESPN, I was constantly, we haven't even gotten to this part of my career, but I was back and forth to Bristol, Connecticut, traveling all over the place to football games. And finally, I got to the point where I'm sitting at home and I just said it. I'm like, I'm going to get a dog. And my mom was like, you know what? I think this is a great time to get a dog. So we started looking up different breeds. In my mind, I thought I wanted something else. But then we started doing research. What's a great apartment dog? Because I live in the city, limited space. And I wanted affection. I wanted a dog that just would love me up. And I kept coming across a Cavalier. And I had never thought about getting a Cavalier. But then I started looking around at breeders in the area. And I found a breeder that was 4 hours away in Cape Coral, which is on the West Coast. And they had one Cavalier left in the litter. And I was like, no way. I mean, because, they all get snagged up so quickly because they're such great dogs.
They're not cheap.
No, it wasn't cheap, but it was the best. I'll just say it. It was the best $3,000 I've ever spent in my life. And I called her and she was like, yeah, it's still available. So I put the deposit down and she told me, I'm not going to give you the dog if I don't feel like you're a good fit. So anyways, I had to go in person to pick up the dog. And I said to myself, I'm only going to get, which is now Zora, if we have a mutual bond. I don't want a dog that's not feeling me or I'm not really into it. I wanted it to feel like a good chemistry. I get there. Zora is terrified of me. She will barely let me touch her. She's running all over the place. She's so anxious. And I was like, well, you're too cute. So even if you hate me, you're coming home with me. And of course, now things have changed.
Sounds like my attempt at dating life in high school.
Exactly.
But yeah, so. I hear what you're feeling. And I don't mean to be disrespectful at all, but I hear, the coronation of Prince Charles became King Charles. And anytime they refer to King Charles, all I can think of is, oh, a Cavalier King Charles. And it sounds so disrespectful, but that's what I think of.
The King Charles.
That's when I think of King Charles, that's what I think of. I think of our dogs along the way. So
exactly.
Okay. Well, it's good to know you're a dog person because I almost lost my election when I first ran. And I've told this story before in this podcast, I got these questions with this 30 days to go. I'm winning my very first election. And the local Fox affiliate there said, all right, we got, 6 and 60 or whatever it was, these rapid questions they ask you. And he said, dogs or cats? And I made the fundamental mistake of saying, I'm not just saying dogs. I said dogs. In fact, one of my favorite books is 101 Uses for a Dead Cat. And oh my gosh, I got lit up like from nationwide. I got lit up as like a I will never vote for you. I will never support you.
He's a cat killer. He's a cat killer. He hates cats.
I'm like, easy. It was just a joke. That's all it was. But oh my gosh, people took that really seriously. I like cats. I had a cat growing up. I can't have a cat indoors, but you know,
they're very divided camps. You are either such a dog lover or there are the people that love cats. And I'm just going to, Jason, you know, if you ever need some backup, I'll just make my opinion.
I like dogs. I'm sorry.
I don't understand cats. I don't get it. They creep me out. They're cute when they're kittens, but the whole hiding under the bed thing, the whole, like, they sometimes are up on top of shelves or on top of the refrigerator. It just weirds me out. So
They keep the mice away, which outside, which is really nice because we got some land where we live. And anyway, we digress. I want to get back to you. So
yeah.
Little Charlie, she's playing soccer. She's doing gymnastics. She's doing everything. Your parents are involved and engaged in the community there in Indiana. But when did you what you've done in your career, you've had great success. But not everybody can speak and think and speak at the same time. And a lot of people, I think, want to do what you're doing. But when did you realize, oh, I actually like to speak? Is it because you were the only child and you took the microphone and you what happened there in your childhood that led you to believe, hey, yeah, I can actually talk?
Well, there was a few things. I think one, I always have had a very big personality. I've always loved being in the spotlight. So for me, being on television kind of lends itself to that. In the least superficial of ways, you're a kid, you want to be the one everyone's watching jumping off the diving board. You want to have the solo in the dance performance. You want to sing the solo in the choir, which, by the way, I have a horrible voice. I have no idea why I was allowed in the choir.
They don't let me sing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
My job is to listen. Yes.
Exactly. So I also, I always loved to write. So when I was in fifth grade, I won the Creative Writing Award, always was a big writer. I always loved reading. So storytelling was a big part of who I was. And I just realized at one point, it was actually in seventh grade, that I really loved public speaking. We would have to give presentations in class and I always felt so comfortable. So all of these things combined just really led me to think, maybe a career in television would be suited for me. And in seventh grade, I ran for class president. I remember standing up there and I was like, this is it. This is what I was meant to do. So
you are an oddball. With all due respect, I say that with great smile and affection here. That is not common that a seventh grader wants to stand up and talk in front of everybody and feels totally comfortable doing it.
Yeah, it was always so natural to me. And it was in seventh grade that I decided I wanted to be on TV.
Did you win, by the way?
I didn't win. And I also lost again in high school when I ran for class president. I mean, it was rigged. I'm going to say it. It was rigged. I should have won.
I know how to win elections. So maybe we can talk. If you want to run again, let's have that conversation.
Please. I would love that. And actually, I had an interest, just to fast forward, I went through high school. I joined the radio and television program. I had a radio show that I did weekly called Charlie Jean, the Radio Queen, which is my full name, Charlie Jean. And so I was a DJ. I hosted the morning announcements in high school. So it was an easy decision for me to want to go to college for broadcast journalism.
Where did you go? Where did you go to college?
I went to American University.
Uh-huh. In D.C.?
In D.C.
Yeah.
And I actually also had an interest. One of the reasons I went is I also had an interest in politics. And I thought to myself, maybe one day, my goal early on was I wanted to be the press secretary.
Huh? Yeah.
So I went to American, realized early on, and now it's, I think people understand you don't necessarily have to major in political science to go on and work in politics.
In fact, you shouldn't. That's my,
right.
You're going to put me off on a tangent. If you want to get involved in politics, don't go to be a political science major.
Yeah.
It's
so
worthless,
I didn't realize
worthless
that.
Degree.
I didn't realize that back then. So I was like, oh, I can't do politics because I really disliked my political science classes. So I just decided I'm just going to focus on television. And then I minored in Spanish and criminal justice as well. But
oh, yeah. Don't we all?
I had all different ideas of what I wanted. I want to be a legal analyst. I want to be a crime reporter. I want to be an entertainment reporter. I want to do politics. I mean, I've been all over the place. And my career has reflected my many different interests because I've bounced around so much at this point.
So, but tell me about the first job, the first gig, the first, hey, you know, I've been going to school, but now look at this. Somebody's hiring me. Who did that?
Ooh, oh man. Well, lucky or unlucky for me, I don't know. I had a very bizarre first experience out of college. I went to Huntington, West Virginia.
Okay.
Where I was a one-man band reporter at the local NBC station. And it was a bit of a culture shock coming from DC to West Virginia. It was very different. And it was very different also based on the skills that I had learned in college, because in college we were learning some of the newer skills, editing using Final Cut Pro, which is a digital version. Once I got to West Virginia, they were still using tape-to-tape editing, which if you don't know what that is, it is—
It's hard.
It is very primitive. You take one tape, press some buttons to try to transfer it onto another tape. If you have one little bit of a jump cut, which is when there is like a blip and the videos aren't seamlessly transitioned to one another, you have to start over. I mean, it is highly difficult. So very stressful in my first job. I also had just some personal issues with the first job. I will say a lack of professionalism was taking place in the newsroom.
Oh,
not on my end, but it was just a very bizarre first experience. I was only there for, I think I was there for 8 months, and I wasn't under contract, so I was able to leave. And I honestly, I was so turned off by my first job that I thought that I was going to get out of television, and I was pretty much sold on maybe going into PR or marketing or something like that. So I actually started doing a PR, we'll call it an internship, for my dad's company that summer, which, by the way, he moved on into, he had a patent for some physical therapy devices called the Graston Technique. If anyone has been through physical therapy, they probably know what it is. It's the greatest and the worst thing all at once. So I started doing that and I wasn't loving it. So I started applying to some PR jobs in New York. And then I fortunately got a call from the local station in Indianapolis, and they needed a freelance reporter at that very moment. So my agent set me up there, and I was like, you know what? I started studying for the LSAT at this point too. I thought I was going to go to law school. I was all over the place. And I went and did this freelance job. And suddenly my love for television was completely reinvigorated. It was a totally different experience than what I had in West Virginia. And I'm so thankful for it, because otherwise I have no idea what I could be doing right now.
Right. So, okay. So, but you did go to Indianapolis, but then where did you get your bigger break?
So after my freelance job, I was then hired full-time in Kansas City. I was a breaking news reporter on the morning show there. I was there for 2 years. Great experience. Then I went back to Indianapolis, because after making some connections through that freelance opportunity, I got to be close with the sports director. And that is where I broke into sports. Otherwise, I'm not even sure how I would have made that happen. But went back, was the weekend sports anchor, weekday sports reporter, did that for 2 years. And then, and I also, coincidentally, for all the Fox News lovers out there, I worked simultaneously at Fox 59 with Aisha Husney and also Alexis McAdams. So it's very funny that the three of us now are at Fox.
Yeah, the three of you done pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They had some, whoever was the talent scout at the time did well. From there, I had a little bit of a break in between employment. I was just waiting for my next job. And then I had the decision to go to Washington, D.C. and be a sports anchor, or go to WWE and be a backstage correspondent and host. And very different jobs, as you can imagine. One very traditional, one not so much. And I started talking to just people that have acted as mentors for me at that point in my career. And every single person said, you should go to WWE. It's so different. Probably not a job you would take later on in life. Might as well give it a go. And I'm so happy, because that is where I got my big break. That's where I not only left the local scene to a bigger scene. I mean, it was an international scene.
Right.
WWE is all over the world.
The audience is huge. Yeah.
So that's where I really got my big break, and it was a great experience. I was there for almost 5 years. While I was there, I also started working for ESPN, because they relocated me. WWE did up to New York. So at that point, I was able to go to ESPN as well, who I'd been in contact with for a couple of years. And ESPN also gave me a wonderful opportunity. Pretty much right when I started, they asked me, what do you see yourself doing? And I said, I see myself as the moderator on First Take, which is their number one rated program on air. And next thing you know, I'm moderating First Take on a fill-in basis. And that was my primary responsibility throughout my time there. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. And now you're with OutKick. Explain what you're doing, how people can see you.
Yeah, so I started with OutKick last April and simultaneously started doing some stuff for Fox News. And I then in September started hosting a show on OutKick called OutKick the Morning. And it's just a mix of literally all of the interests that I've ever cultivated in my life. Sports, news, politics, pop culture, whatever I'm interested in, the show is a reflection of, which I love so much because you're not confined to one box, which is very rare in television. So right now it's airing weekdays at 8 a.m. every single day. And there will be content put out every single day. We possibly could be changing the time that it's released each day. But for now, 8 a.m. weekdays. And it's been so much fun so far.
No, it seems like a good crew over there. It's innovative stuff. It's fun, and encourage people to go check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still so young in your career, Charlie. What do you really want it like long term? If I could do this, this is what I want to do.
That's such a loaded question because there's so many things that
I know.
Do.
I know.
I love what I'm doing right now. I would love to continue building my brand and finding ways to communicate stories in different types of ways. There's so many things out there that I think it's hard to reach certain audiences and make them understand why it's important. So for me, I would love to try and find ways to make younger people especially understand why issues are so important. Because I think traditional news media only reaches a certain audience at this point, just because a lot of people don't even have cable anymore. So the younger audiences are on social media. That is how they consume their news. I mean, even for me, that's how I consume my news. I'm on X. I'm on Instagram. I have a TikTok, but barely use it. But I understand that's the way they consume news. So you have to find a way to grab their attention and make them want to care about certain issues. And I think especially in the conservative space, that's a little bit more of a challenge. There's so many preconceived notions about some of the issues that conservatives talk about or care about. And I think it's important to get those issues in front of people. I mean, for example, the murder of Lake and Riley. There's so few people talking about it. Meanwhile, when George Floyd lost his life, all of the sports media was talking about it. So it's interesting how now that another person has lost their life in a horrific manner, I wouldn't compare her murder to George Floyd at all. But it's just, you know, trying to be able to make people understand why it's important to care about this and the greater issue behind it with illegal immigration, our open border, trying to find ways to communicate that I think is so important. And once people can kind of get a grip on it, they're like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea I should care about this. But now that you've brought it to my attention in a way that's creative and captivating, now I'm going to start paying more attention.
Yeah, no, the way we communicate, consume news, get news, it is definitely changing, and not all of it good, but some of it is really good. And the reality is this is where, you know, everything's right at your fingertip on your phone or, you know, your iPad or whatever it might be. And so, yeah, to be on the forefront of that, more power to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Charlie Arnold right after this.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in freefall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Charlie, before we go, and you've been very generous with your time, I normally ask you some rapid questions.
Yes.
So I need to ask you some pivotal, really important, in-depth questions. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. What was your high school mascot?
Oh, there's the Cavalier. Hey, Zora, this is not the time. Hey, Zora. What?
There must be a cat outside. There is
a dog down the hall that sometimes will start barking. Hey, sorry about that. Here we go. Now I'm ready for the rapid fire. Zora obviously wanted to be involved. So,
hey, that's okay. I understand where Zora is coming from. And the thing with Cavaliers is if all of a sudden they start making noise, there is something going on. I mean, that's the personal protection. But normally, they're just silent. They just want to sit with you, which is pretty cool about them. So,
you know what? Real quick, one thing someone told me recently that really stuck with me, because I always would get so annoyed when Zora would just start her little barking tantrums. But then I was talking to someone who said the best form of protection these days is having a dog, because you are far, the statistics are out there, you're far less likely to have your home broken into.
Now,
there's a dog. And the second they hear the dog bark, they're like, never mind, this is going to be more of a pain than it's worth. So actually now, even though sometimes it's not opportune, like right now, I'm actually proud of my little guard dog, and I want her to keep doing it.
You can put Zora on your lap and it would be just fine. Not a problem. Yeah. Okay, so we watched a thing on Netflix called American Nightmare. And I don't know if you've seen American Nightmare?
I haven't. Right now I'm wrapped up in Love is Blind, which is one of the many reality shows that I seem to get caught up in, but I have not seen American Nightmare.
All right, so American Nightmare, and I don't want to give it away for anybody who hasn't watched it, but for those of you that have watched it, there are allegations of kidnapping and rape. And part of what this alleged potential perpetrator said is, he seems to have like sympathy for his victims a little bit, and then he talks to him a little bit. And at one point, at least one of the allegations is, one of the people, he doesn't follow through on it. Even though he starts to go down this really bad path, he kind of pulls, you know, he stops and is very nice to her and kind of lets her go. But part of what he said was, you need to get a dog. And he said, because when he looks around for potential people to victimize, he always avoids a dog. And I tell you what, I have done enough ride-alongs with U.S. Marshals, local law enforcement, sheriffs, you name it. When they go to serve a warrant, or if they're trying to pick up bad guys, it's all about, do they or do they not have a dog? Because that is the biggest challenge.
Wow.
And it tends to be the smaller dogs that actually alert people faster than the bigger dogs, and because they will start barking. And so when these law enforcement go to serve a warrant and they're trying to sneak up on the door, you know, sometimes it's a no-knock warrant or something. Yeah. All of a sudden, the little dog will start barking like, ah, shoot, now they're going to be awake. And when they wanted to try to surprise somebody or sneak up on somebody. So a little tangent of mine is, yeah, I think for the safety and security of it, we've always done well by having dogs because it's a security feature. And anyway, for what it's worth.
I totally am on board with that. I don't think I would, even if the dog was worthless, I'm stuck with her for life. I love her too much.
Well, that's good. All right, let's go back to the rapid questions. So let me go a different direction. What was the very first concert you went to?
Celine Dion.
In Las Vegas? Where were you at?
No, I was, it was in Indianapolis. I actually randomly saw Celine Dion twice in concert. I was at a friend's house. Her mom was like, do you girls want to go see Celine Dion? And this was when the Titanic song was big. And, you know, as young girls, we were obsessed with Titanic. So it was awesome.
Yeah, I can't say I saw it, but I can't say I was obsessed with it. That's for sure. What was your high school mascot?
A panther.
Panther. A lot of panthers in Indiana?
Not real ones, but mascots potentially, yes.
A lot of mascots. All right. Well, fair enough. What was your very first job? The one where you got a check from somebody else other than your parents?
My first job, I worked in an ice cream shop in Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, right on the beach. And I would scoop ice cream all day long for all the hot surfer boys that would come in from the you know, from the water. And it was the most fantastic job in the world as a high school girl.
Yeah, that sounds like actually a good fit. Did Joe Biden ever come in, get a scoop?
No, thank goodness. He probably would have bought out the whole place by the end of the summer.
Yeah, he's quite the customer, evidently. I don't know. I haven't heard about his tipping prowess, but he definitely likes the ice cream. It's surprising he stayed as thin as he has through the years by consuming all the ice cream that he has. But I think they've picked up the pace now that he's, you know, an octogenarian.
His obsession with ice cream is just strange. I have no words for it.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of video for it, so people can make their own determination. You've been a journalist, you've been reporting on things. If you could invite one person over and have break bread with them, dinner with them, set aside religious figures, one person you just want to invite over and say, hey, you know what? Come join me. Let's just have a conversation. Anybody in history, who would that be?
Ooh, anybody in history. I mean, I right now would say the person I would be most interested in meeting is Elon Musk. I am fascinated with Elon Musk. I feel like his brain is on a completely different wavelength and frequency than the rest of us. And I love what he's done with X. I love his preservation for free speech. I really truly think at the end of the day, we're going to look back and say the world would have gone in a very different direction if not for Elon Musk. So as a journalist, I also appreciate the platform that he's given journalists to go, for example, to the southern border, show exactly what's going on, yeah. Whereas a lot of people haven't been allowing stuff like that. And especially like, you know, censorship and all the suppression that we see on the different other platforms. I really, really respect Elon Musk and would love to sit down and have dinner with him. I don't know what he would order, but
hey,
I'll let him pick the restaurant.
If that happens, invite me over, will you? Because I'd love to sit on that one. That would be a fast. Because what he's done with SpaceX and Starlink,
I mean,
it's just amazing the career that he's had and the vision that he has and his kind of view of the world and Mars. And it would be a fascinating discussion.
Oh, yeah.
If you met Bigfoot, the real Bigfoot. I'm not talking about the fake one, the real Bigfoot. And you could have a conversation. What would you ask him?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You haven't already thought this through? I mean,
no. What? Oh my God. What would I ask him?
Yeah. I mean, I got a whole set of questions. Like, I think I'd play some video and say, hey, Daryl, is this you? Is this one really you or is that somebody else?
That is such a great question.
Is there a Mrs. Bigfoot?
What would I? Yeah, I guess. Yeah. What are you doing in your spare time?
Do you lift?
Great books. Yeah. Do you even lift, bro? That's such
How
a great question.
How tall are you?
I've never even thought about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll give that some more thought. A really big important question for me, Charlie, is pineapple on pizza. Yes or no?
Yes. Pineapple on pizza is a yes for me. It's not necessarily my go-to, but let me tell you, and I've been preaching this for
years. Yeah, you're going to have to explain this because I'm not liking this answer, but go ahead.
I've been preaching this for years. One of the greatest combinations on pizza, pepperoni,
yes.
Jalapenos,
yes.
And pineapple.
No, see,
because
that's where you lose me. You throw wet pineapple on top of jalapenos, and obviously there's tomatoes on there that are somewhat wet.
Can I, instead of saying wet pineapple, what if it's grilled?
See, people
pineapple?
Keep saying it's still wet. So, and
it does.
I know
it has
that tomato
a bite to it.
Is
it's a juicy fruit.
I like it off to the side. It can be a side dish, but not a main ingredient.
But have you tried? Is this just something that you are assuming you won't like, or have you actually tried it?
Oh, yes. I have tried it. You need to reevaluate your life, Charlie, and reexamine this bad habit that you have of putting pineapple on your pizza.
I knew I was going to get judgment for this, but before I totally allow you to judge me, I will say my favorite kind of out there topping on pizza that is not normally understood is honey. Have you ever had honey
Ooh,
on
yes.
pizza?
Well, like we have like a honey barbecue where they'll put the grilled chicken, you know, like a honey barbecue chicken on pizza. That's pretty good.
Yeah, honey with like a spicy soppressata. Everybody?
I don't know what soppressata is, but it sounds good.
It's like a different form of pepperoni. It's an Italian meat. It's got a little bit of a kick, a spice to it, a little
I'm
bit of a
sure
tang.
I like it. I'm sure I
it's
like
delicious.
It.
It's delicious.
All right. Last question.
Okay.
Best advice you ever got?
Best advice I ever got. I think the best advice I've ever got is just to be authentic to yourself and not to really care what other people have to say as far as who you are, because everyone's always going to have their opinion. And I think as long as you are true to yourself and believe in what you're doing, that's the most important thing. And that's going to ultimately take you in the right direction in life, because the second that you veer off what's important to you or let other people's opinions dictate your path, you're ultimately going to wind up unhappy. So just staying true to yourself is important.
No, it's great advice. It's great. I love your attitude and approach and what you're doing on OutKick and with Fox, and you're one of the rising stars around here. So,
and also, I forgot to mention, I'm also a current reporter with UFC. So there's also something on my plate. I'm leaving for Las Vegas tomorrow to be the reporter at Fight Night in the Apex this weekend. So
keep
that's something else
after it. No, we'd love your energy and your enthusiasm and the fun that you put behind it. It's contagious. So and thank you so much for taking the time and
absolutely
spending time with us on the Jason in the House podcast. Do appreciate it.
This was so much fun. I'm so happy to have come on, and I hope you have the best day.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Can't thank Charlie enough. She's going to have a great career. She's got the right personality, the right background, the right approach. She's got a wonderful, wonderful future. I think you're going to see a lot more of her. And it's always good, I think, to know a little bit more about that person who you may be sharing a few minutes on air with. So I thank her. I hope she has a wonderful, wonderful time. And please, if you can like this podcast, we'd appreciate it. You can subscribe to this podcast. That'd be even better. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Stay with us. Come back. We got another exciting guest coming up next week. You can also find more from the Fox News Podcast Network over at foxnewspodcast.com, foxnewspodcast.com. Some good products out there. Will Cain's got a good live daily show you might want to look into. Always love Trey Gowdy's stuff, Ben Dominic. There's a lot of good podcasts. Brian Kilmeade's got some stuff from all the stuff he's doing on there. So check out some of those and come back to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more next week. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.